All right. And I have no story.
No. You did. You did have a story. This is why you don't let your cat Ernie go riding down the electric scooters at Zoom's house.
What?
That's why you don't do that. You remember that story? Ernie, you let Ernie go.
You don't let Ernie do anything of his own devices.
Yeah, he got on an electric scooter. All of a sudden, there were plane crashes. There was all sorts of stuff going on. Oh, wait. That may be too soon.
That was too soon.
I didn't think about that one. That's my bad.
Well,
we just got canceled. Yep. Sorry. See you guys. See you guys later.
See you guys. Never.
Oh. Gotta find a new job.
All right. Ooh. What is up, everybody? ZGP Power Hour number
173.
There's no milestone on this one, and it's just going to be a bunch of dudes talking about cars like it is every time.
It's been 84 years.
It's been 84 years.
We had the holidays.
December 6th was our last one.
We did one December?
Yeah.
I think we didn't do one in November because of Black Friday, so we kind of like just did one right after that.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah. I remember that.
And by the way, over to my left here, we have Mr. Adam.
Hello, everyone.
One of our newest additions to the team here. If you saw the image preview, that was his base model Cobalt.
I wouldn't want to own that in public, but you know.
He does not own a Wagoneer either.
No Jeep Wagoneers
doesn't
here.
Make any
price
sense.
Price way too high.
Yep. Before we get into whatever the heck our today's topic is, I'm going to do some products. Right here, we got these little plates.
Ooh, I know what those are. I know.
Sweet. They're for Fieros.
Actually make Fiero parts.
We have a Fiero part.
Oh my God.
Rejoice.
But we got the vacuum black off plate. Nice. We got clear, black, anodized, CNC'd here in house. Come with some nice bolts. But then an even more exciting product.
For the cool cars.
For the cool cars.
Wow.
y'all know me up here. I throw shade.
We got some studs. Finally.
Four?
Talk about yourself.
The LF4. Well, we're all studs up here. But
if you make power, your engine has already blown up. You need those.
You need these.
Basically.
Specifically, our race version, which has a larger shank. Give you even more...
Holdy blocky together.
Yep. And I was just talking to my dad this weekend about the LF4 and how it's an amazing engine.
Amazing.
But, you know, we come from the Ecotecs, and those have an entire girdle plate.
Yeah.
Like, it's a whole 30-bolt... experience to get that thing on.
Not breaking that.
And then the ATSV, you know, that makes some good power, just has these little main caps.
Yeah. And so basically everybody was blowing up online, and I was like, you know, there's just that part, it won't happen to me.
Yep.
You know, I know what I'm doing. I know how to tune these cars and all this. Well, we put a pair of Zona turbos on my ATSV, and I made 814 for about I don't know, about 10, 12 pulls.
Yep.
And then it was done.
We heard it talking. It's off no change. We're like, wait a second.
Yeah,
you can tell when it's making power, and then it was like,
Yep. As soon as you hear the tone change when you're like full throttle, like almost done with the pull, it's already done.
Yeah.
And then you let off the gas, and then it stalls. And you're like, oh, man, that's like kind of the nail on the coffin.
Then you do
the crank. You hit the starter, and it turns at about a third the speed of normal. Uh-huh. You're like, yep.
But it's still spun.
Yeah.
It wasn't fully locked up.
No. It never locked up. We got it over here.
Yeah.
But these studs, we've put them in multiple engines now, and we made a lot of power. A lot of power. So...
Guys, the chat.
Great investment.
The chat's blowing up.
Chat's going off already.
What is going on in this chat? Y'all must be happy to see us. Where'd you get the rims from, though?
What's speaking of
rims? What's
speaking
of rims?
So, what the heck are we talking about today?
Boys, we are talking about. I might put two in the thing. I'm putting three, so just give us more talking points.
All right.
We're talking about reliability versus performance versus convenience/comfort.
Yeah. Well,
this is a loaded topic.
We drive race cars. There's no comfort.
I mean,
not in a car.
I think, but that's but that's kind of part of it. Like,
man, this like the magic of modding your car is like learning how much like comfort you're willing to give up for extra performance.
Yeah, that is 100%. Part of it.
Yeah. Like down to suspension, down to motor mounts and transmission mounts.
And noise.
Down to
vibration.
Noise.
Yeah.
And drone. And like It's rough. Like our equalizer, our 3800 equalizer, it makes your, like, when I say this, I'm not insulting the 3800, but it makes your dumb 3800 that sounds like a freaking tractor, like the one of the worst sounding V6s ever on the planet. Uh-huh. It magically makes it sound like one of the best sounding import V6s you've ever heard.
It makes your brain tingle. You like shut your eyes and listen to a 3800 with an equalizer rev, and you're like, oh,
it's crazy how small.
But
but
it adds a little bit of drone.
It does.
So like, if you have a loud exhaust, like it's at 45 miles an hour and you're cruising in the bottom of fourth gear, like it's got a little bit of drone.
Now see, I think we can sum up this episode today as balance. What is, because everyone's definition of is going to be different with balance. And what's wild, we do kind of have a slew of definitions of them, and then a few different ages as well too, because as I know, as I've gotten older, I have been dealing with less and less stuff and I've wanted to deal with.
And so, you know, part of it is age, obviously. But then another part is we've all been around the block.
Yep.
A bunch of times. And you put some parts on your car and there's always this level of you have to justify your purchase.
Yes.
So you buy your Cobalt, you're doing all your mods, and you put all four solid motor mods on. And you're like, yeah, it's not that bad. And every time the car starts.
But see, you have that outlier. Like, I'm a perfect example. Snow car. And you driven.
Uh-huh.
Only one has a driven snow car here is you, Adam. But you have all driven snow car, and it's one of the weird ones. It doesn't rattle.
No.
It
and
does not.
Neither does blue car with all four mounts.
It's weird. It don't make no dang sense.
Man, my Ion.
Okay,
it was rough.
I am going to be looking at chat a little bit. So, Rainer's Rig says, don't get LHU for more reliability. Wrong. I feel the LNF and the LHU are some of the most reliable mod cars you can get. If you treat it wrong, it'll be unreliable.
Yeah. But the LNF and LHU is, I'm going to call them the same because they're pretty much the same.
Yes.
Like, that is one of the best four cylinders ever made of all time, no matter what make.
Got it.
Yeah.
What?
No. Like, a Regal's a little heftier.
It's a little heftier, but they
have great.
They still drive good.
They drive great. They've got good interiors.
Yep.
Gen 3 block from the and Opals from the factory.
Those little rods.
Yeah, the rods are a little weak, but you know, if you just like with any car with any limit, if you don't go to like I want to like the rods can handle 380. If you don't make 379, you're fine.
Yeah.
You know, kind of thing.
And every engine has a weak point.
Oh, yeah.
Like everyone
does.
The magic is knowing the weak point.
And, yeah.
And like when you put
the people that can tell you what that weak point is.
Yes.
Yeah. If you put a Z54 or a 6758 on your LHU, like you're fine. Just have Matt tune it right to like right below the limit, and it makes great power band, and it's a blast.
Yeah.
And then know that if you want that extra 20 that turbo is capable of, you just got to do a rod swap.
Yeah.
Like which is a big job, but like 380 at the wheels is freaking fast.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
That's real quick, like, especially in that car. See, people are really obsessed with horsepower numbers now because you have cars that are all, you know, come out from the box fast these days. Yeah. But people are, say, still miss what it, like, an actual car with actual power band and that's a lighter car that's making power can keep up with these. I'm going to call them out of Randy's.
Yeah.
Perfect thing today.
Yep.
Yesterday, Randy in his V-Sport, granted, the V-Sport is a very fast car already. He beat an SRT 8300C. Mm-hmm. I would guess that Tyrus LSJ will also be able to beat that car. It's a 4,600 pound car that makes to the crank around like 390, 400 horsepower to the wheels, mid 300s, and Tyler has a grand or more in weight under it.
Oh yeah.
It makes a big difference.
Yep. It makes that weight makes a huge difference.
Yeah. And driver mod.
Yeah,
driver mod. Just simply knowing how to drive the vehicle. I mean, on auto, I guess it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But you know what? Yes, it does. You know, here's a slight rant. Like, people that don't floor their cars.
Yeah.
We've done multiple videos on it. I yell at people about it all the time. But I get the scans every day, every single day.
Yeah.
I get a scan to where the customer is between 70 and maybe 90% throttle. Like, there's a dent on all of our floors underneath that gas pedal.
Oh, yeah, I'll push it through the floor. Like, oh, I'm calling more PR. Daniel Anderson. I think you're wrong. He said, H-speed numbers are stupid. It's all about quarter mile times. Wrong.
That's the That's the great equalizer.
It is the great equalizer.
I will say,
man, there. But what sucks about the drag strip is the temperature of the day, the track prep,
so
the vehicle prep.
Yeah,
your track speed though should be indicative.
Your track speed will do that. But if, for instance, a perfect example, let's use a Cobalt. The Cobalt arguably is a horrible drag car.
Yeah.
It is a horrible drag car. They don't drag well. They don't do that. You get on the road and you're gapping 500-600 horsepower cars all day long. But a drag strip wouldn't show you that.
Yeah.
The chassis speed would kind of show you it's fast car, but
maybe.
Again, but also,
my ATS-V, the better grip I get, the higher my mile per hour is, you know?
Yeah.
And usually it's the opposite of that.
Yeah.
Like, it just, it depends. Like, the drag strip, like, each track is different. Like, the track prep, your vehicle's prep, like, it's hard. A dyno, man, they're just as bad.
They're just as bad.
I've seen dynos read 20% different.
Mm-hmm. Like, it's more than that. Like, a dyno jet reads higher than or could read higher than a Mustang dyno. This person may have calibrated the Mustang dyno to read higher than this. Like, that's why we don't want to get too caught up in numbers either. But Siren, that's Siren.
Yeah.
Let's talk about reliability.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry, guys.
I'm going to end the whole discussion. Stock pulley LSJ.
That's a weird way to lose. That's a weird way to lose to a stock turbo LNF. That's a weird way to lose to one. All right. So, guys, so what are mods? Like, yeah, I'm screwed store the light. So, guys, so here's a question. What are some mods that you can think of that, you know, like we already talked about, like, the mounts. What are some mods that you think that we can talk about balance and reliability and stuff you've done in your personal vehicles? I know when I've done the Cobalt that I kind of, like, based on what I've done the Cobalt, I'm going to the max distance.
Mm-hmm.
And now I know, like, all right, when I do another build, I can dial these few things back because it's going full-blown crazy. Like, what are some mods on your guys' cars that you were like, all right, maybe I wouldn't do that or would have done this a different way?
I guess one, I haven't done it on any of my personal cars, but an open wastegate dump.
Cool. Yeah,
it sounds cool, and you know it's sweet, but it's not something that I would want.
Yeah, all
the time.
Yeah,
yeah. I find myself driving just fast enough to not have the wastegate open up.
Yeah,
when I have those vehicles.
Yeah.
So yeah.
And the thing about it is, a lot of people
flooring.
With a lot of people, they say, "Oh yeah, it's worth horsepower." Open versus recirculated wastegate is worth ones.
Unless you have a really restrictive exhaust.
But a proper setup car.
I
really like the wastegate dump one because I've driven both cars in.
Mm-hmm.
It does get to be a thing.
Like,
especially like stuff that's a little overhyped. The open wastegate dump, you know, anytime
it's
before.
It's pretty hot, boy.
It's pretty hot, boy. And all, if you haven't seen all your hood and all the other stuff, it's cool at that point. But
is
like,
that a daily still?
Yeah. Some people will try, but. Yeah, like, it's one of those things that you just, anytime you floor, it's just, and it's all loud and all race car versus you can have it coming out of the exhaust and be
which has mufflers and, like, the tone is way better rather than just literally screaming.
Yeah, I want to hear the turbo, too. Like, I want to hear the intake noises, and you don't hear anything when you have
an open not with an open wastegate dump,
too. you don't hear anything of that. But I think other than that, you know, the first thing that comes to mind is suspension.
Yeah, suspension is a good one.
I went through every single iteration of lowering springs on my Cobalt, and to this day I won't put another pair on because I'll just go to coilovers.
Yeah.
There's no use in, lowering springs are only $200. Well, then you need a spring compressor, and you're going to have to replace the mounts, and your struts are probably bad anyway.
Yeah.
And
Now it is a fantastic budget option, and there are certain... you know, spring stuff there, you know, more for, you know, performance, things like that. But usually, like I said, I would kind of agree with you. I mean, you're a coilover guy anyway, but, like, a coilover is going to be the best option for getting all three, comfortability, ride, you know, drivability, you know, all that stuff, performance. So you kind of get all three. It kind of checks all the boxes.
If you buy the right coilover.
If you buy the right coilover.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Please.
Do your research.
All you guys on Racelands, stop. Get help.
No, they ride great. That's the purchase
that's justification. Your purchase. Guys, please remember.
I don't want to say that I wasted $400.
Yeah.
I wasted $400.
Yeah, Racelands are what, $250 to $400, like you said?
They're like $500.
Yeah, they're almost $500 now.
Oh, so they finally upped it. But remember, they're making money on that.
Yeah.
So think of how crappy that coilover is. And I get people come, oh, no, my wrist lines ride great. No, they don't.
What
no,
do you got, Mike?
No, they don't. They just don't.
When you bought your LNF, didn't that have race lines?
Yes, it did.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that thing looked horrible.
Yeah, it was bad. Horrible. Like, really bad.
Yeah, they offer a lifetime warranty because they're paying 75 cents for the coilovers, and they just sell them to you for $500.
Yeah, my favorite part about coilovers is just being able to adjust them.
Yeah.
So it's not just the ride height. It's like the dampening. So we needed a test car for our Regal coilovers that Tyler's working on.
Yep.
So he's like, oh, do you mind running them on your Regal, Tim? And I'm like, yeah, sure. You know, so we throw them on my car and I'm like, hey, like, this is my daily driver. Like, I want this thing to be pretty comfortable. Let's put them in at, like, I don't know, either 4 or 7 clicks. Mm-hmm. Might have been 4.
Yeah.
And I put them in and I'm like, wow, like, this rides pretty well. Like, yeah. It rides really nice. And then if I want to go to the, you know, road course or whatever, or I just feel like being sporty a day, I just click each one up 10 clicks. And we're good to go.
Yeah.
So, yeah, coilovers for the win. Adjustability, that's amazing. The ability to adjust your bump and all that stuff to not rub is nice, too.
Yeah.
And like you, like Tyler said, like, your top plates are garbage. Your struts are probably worn out. Like, it's so much labor to swap springs on struts. Just replace the entire thing with a coilover and you're done. Back to motor mounts, just to wrap this one up.
Yeah.
Motor mounts, this is what I suggest. When you're modifying your car, you know you're not going to place one order and be done ordering parts.
No.
So what you do, every order, just order one more mount.
Uh-huh.
And just add one more mount every time you do mods to your vehicle until you achieve a tolerable amount of vibration. Yeah. And then you're just done.
And let it, like,
drive the car.
Drive it.
Yes.
Yeah, you got to let it settle.
Yeah, you got to let it settle.
Let it settle. And, yeah, you know, if you go one too far, there's always dudes buying used parts.
Yes. So.
Or, another way to do that, buy them all at once, put them all on, and then start taking them off one by one.
And then undo it.
And then undo it like, okay. So you can set the dial to 100 and then just dial it back.
Edit, undo, edit, some undo, might like, edit,
some
undo.
Some people might like that. Some people might prefer to
no,
have
seriously,
it like
because
that,
so. A big part of it is legitimately like people like the mod list. Yeah. They want to say they have all the mods. I am that person. I like a long mod list. And so, like, to have all the mounts and be like this and stuff, but then also I end up convincing myself it's not that bad.
All right, the next one. Exhaust.
Yeah. Oh, exhaust.
All right, so. Exhaust. Please keep in mind that you don't need exhaust. Shouldn't be your first mod. I don't think it should be your first mod for any platform
no,
at all.
No, I got
like.
Don't straight pop your car. Stop. Get out.
Get out.
Yes.
No light. Like, whatever. It's fine.
But there are many things you can.
That's fine. Silhouette screaming at y'all.
There are many things you could do to make your exhaust a little bit louder, and that's kind of like a motor mount. Like, just do a little bit louder at a time.
Yeah, your downpipe.
A catback exhaust should be like almost the last mod to the car.
Yeah.
Predominantly sell parts for turbo cars. An intercooler should be one of your first mods. Mm-hmm. Every single car. I should say heat exchangers for your intercooler system. So it covers the LSJs as well. Like a heat exchanger for your LSJ and a front mount intercooler for every other turbo car. Like crucial. And you ATSV guys, we have heat exchangers coming out very soon. Like a month or two, we're going to have heat exchangers.
And they look sweet.
Amazing.
Yes, they look sweet.
Super cool in the car.
They've been on my car like almost, I don't know, at least 6 months, maybe a year or so.
So, no, I do like your thing about exhaust. Like, I don't hate, because you know, like the first few mods for our customers tend to be
intake exhaust,
downpipe exhaust, stuff like that. I don't think it's a bad idea. My very first mod on my Cobalt, before I knew about these performance, it was my Han Racecraft exhaust. Mm-hmm. But what I did was I got a resonator and a muffler on it.
Yeah.
You
gotta get the resonator. Yeah,
you have to. So
guys,
even for turbos act like a little bit of a muffler, but there are three main parts to having your car sound good. It is a cat, it is the resonator, and it is the muffler.
Yep.
What people want to do is they want to delete most of those just to have a piece of sewer pipe hanging out of the back.
And, you know, the argument always comes up of, oh, well, you know, I'm going to get the 3-inch exhaust over the 2.5 because it'll make more power. For 99.8% of people, the smaller exhaust will be okay.
Yes. 300 LSJ guys specifically. If you're on a blower on the LSJ, you never need a 3-inch exhaust. Like, if you're trying to go max effort, make 300.
Unless you got cams, ported heads, balls to the wall, like everything.
Man, and our 2.5-inch resonated cobalt.
Oh, it sounds so good.
Sounds so good.
So good.
But guys, like when, like, I don't know, maybe some people, like, again, maybe I'm just old now because some people are like, yeah, I want to get, like, I had a 3-inch customer say, I want to be as loud as possible. I'm like,
why?
Yeah,
man. I'm like, everyone looking at you all the time.
Yeah, I'm like, brother, like,
your car's broken.
I don't want to be rude through the email. I was like, hey, man. We can make the car loud, or we can make it sound good. Would you want to make it sound good? He's like, no, I just want it as loud as possible. I'm like,
just take manifolds off.
Yeah, I'm just like,
open heads.
Just open
this kind of gets back to my motto about modifying cars. Like, some people have bad taste.
Sorry, guys.
And that makes our cars that much cooler.
Yeah.
Like, but I never have understood, like, the vehicle that, like, even a cool sounding vehicle, like a 5.0 Mustang or something, like a newer one, like, you have these guys driving around with just dual exhaust, resonator, no mufflers.
It's pipes.
It sounds terrible.
You made a cool sounding engine sound like crap.
VQ engine.
Yeah.
VQ engine is my best example of that. It was known as one of the best sounding V6 engines on the planet when people did the exhaust right. But then people started being cheap. They started, here's my sewer pipe. And then
I don't even know if it's cheap, man. These people are just like, I just want it loud. It's like, I just wonder, do they really think it sounds good loud?
I think they do, but then
they want the attention or something.
Yeah, they want the attention. But I do think that as then it comes with age, so that's a mod of comfortability. Like,
it's for sure.
Yeah, like some people are doing it. I got to fix my rally exhaust, but then you straight pipe it, it still sounds like you have a broken exhaust.
And obviously it's case dependent. You know, you've got your track car. So say you're building a road course car and that's, you drive it there, you race, you come home. Like, that's different. You know, the level of comfortability and reliability. Like, if you take it on the trailer, you know, you can take it home on the trailer, whether it's broken or not. So, especially when it comes to reliability, that can be a little different. But, man, nothing worse than getting in your car and, like, just wanting to go drive and you're on the highway and it's just
I think I can speak for a lot of us here. We really care about wanting to enjoy the driving experience.
Yeah.
Because there are some cars that we have that aren't like the fastest cars on the street. Like, I drive a Sonic in the winter that has only a few parts, and I will beat the snot out of that. I'll race anything, and it's great. It's fun.
I'll talk smack to anybody. Slow car like that.
Yeah.
Well, it's more fun to drive your car than not drive it.
It is very, like, but if you end up hating it and hating driving experience, it's not worth it.
Yeah.
It's just not. So that's why I want to kind of, this is not a really mod that we sell, but it kind of lead into it. The seats in your car. Some people.
Seats and seat belts
in your car.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the thing, because I'm basically the whole, what's called ergonomics, that all the stuff you tucked in your car.
Yeah.
The ergonomics of your car are super, super important. A short throw shifter can enhance or decline depending on exactly what you get.
Yep.
Because for each and every car, it can be very different.
Oh, yeah.
Like, my ATS short throw shifter is really short. It's really notchy. It's a pain in the behind.
Yeah.
A Cobalt one. All day, every day.
All day, yeah. Yeah, Cobalt or Sonic, you do the shifter, the spring, the bushings, you know, the cable clamps on Sonic. It makes, you love
clicking to the next gear. Growing gears.
But then, your ATS better. Is like,
it is.
I wouldn't want to drive that every day.
Yeah, like, it's like the, because we got a short shifter. It now, performance, now this is the thing, performance-wise, it's great. It's shorter, it clicks in.
Oh, yeah, when you're beating on it.
When you're beating on it, it's solid. But for daily driving, I found that driving it every day in the summer, it is, you got to really, you got to yank it in.
Where's third?
Our
ATS-V short shifter is basically the same shifter with slight revisions for the ATS-V. But I talked to Keith, the guy that engineered our ZZP short shifter that's not on the website yet, but it will be soon. And I was like, hey, I kind of hate this Hurst shifter. It's too short. You're not really sure if you're in gear or not because it's so stiff.
Yep.
I was like, can we add a little bit of throw? And he was like, yeah, we can add a little bit of throw. And he did, and I love it.
Yeah,
like,
it's a changes. Nice, happy medium between the two. But on seats.
Yeah, it's back to seats.
Yeah.
I
don't put a bucket in your daily driver.
No.
All right.
It's so hard to get in and out of the car.
Okay.
I have to
add to this.
Yeah. Let's talk about this. This is spicy. Let's go.
All right. This is where I'm going to give it to Ryan. I bought a cheap race seat.
Mm-hmm. Don't do that either.
My race seat was...
After I bought the cheap race seat. And then Tim bought the cheap race seat.
So our seats are like a third of the cost of Ryan's.
Uh-huh.
And when I sit in Ryan's and I melt and when I'm like, oh, this is like sitting on a cloud. This is what clouds feel like.
It's so much different.
It is so much different. I got back into Tim's car after sitting in my car's in a snowball. I'm like, am I sitting on a cardboard box? What is going on?
We drove those things 11 hours down to Tale of the Dragon. I had, no joke, two microfiber detail, not like just regular.
You had the whole stack.
I had... Like,
the package.
No, the like drying towels, the big ones. Nice. Like, big. I had two of those, and then Tim got me a foam insert, and I'm still like 6 hours in, like, what have I done?
Yeah. Yep, about 5-6 hours in, I was doing the same thing. You're doing the seat. Doing the seat.
Moving around. You don't have the pillow. I have a permanent pillow that I leave in my car just for that.
That would have been a good idea.
Yeah, a pillow.
Yeah. Because or like you're sitting like this up at the steering wheel.
Like lean on a steering wheel. But see, now that, I learned that on the snowball. So the snowball, I've been through 5 seats. I went through...
Tested them all.
Yeah, I went through I went through 4 different Corbos. I went through the F1, the Forza, the FS1, and the FS1 Pro. Uh-huh. So I did all of them.
Yep.
And I'm like, there's a good quality seat. Like for racing and a short event, it's good quality. But then I was like, I need a seat that's going to sit nice, it's going to be amazing, that's going to look how I want it. So then I ended up paying, I paid the price for the Carl SPGNs.
So they're fine?
And no, they are not reclinable. But the padding,
the padding is crazy.
And the material they use and the technology used in that is a night and day difference from any other like Corbo, Sparco, anything.
There's a pay to play for sure.
There's a reason that OEM nice seats like OEM Recaros are so expensive.
Yes.
Because that's what they do. They do seats.
Yeah.
And like, you can buy the $300 one.
Yeah.
Or you can buy the $1,000 one, and you are going to get 3 times more comfort.
Yeah. No, like, there are some things you get what you pay for, and it's, I feel like a seat is one, because that's the sliding bar. It's like, hey, you get comfortability, or you get, performance.
Well,
you can get both, but you definitely got
to
pay for
it. It's to the point where, when I was talking about taking the Cobalt to the Dragon next year, I was going to remove the Sparco,
put it
in the trunk.
Yeah.
Put the LNF seat in there. When I get down there, take it out.
Yeah. I can't blame you.
Yeah,
I feel like an LNF seat's got to be good enough for that trip.
Oh, the
LNF seats are
great.
Shout out to the LNF Master Race.
Away. Yeah.
Put it in a different car.
And onto the seat belts. Like, if you put race seat belts in your car, they're amazing. Race seat belts are awesome.
Yeah.
Like, they do the same thing as a race seat. Like, you're not wasting a lot of energy pushing on the door panel with your knee, pushing on the center console with your knee, holding yourself in the car. Like, they hold you in the seat. They hold you back. However, what people will do is they're like, oh, I got these awesome seat belts. I'm going to remove my OEM one. Now, think about this. So now you have a 5-point harness in your car, and you want to drive it up to the gas station and back.
So... let me chime in, because guys, this is literally me in the snowball right now. So anytime you want to get in, instead of getting in and be like, click, drive. I gotta click.
Yep, you gotta find them all. You gotta pull the one up and from here, and then the thing isn't working right.
Yep. God forbid if my garage door opener is too far, I put it in the middle of the dash. I have to unclick it, reach forward, grab it, unlock it, and then do it again.
Or you get in and it's like 100 degrees in your car, so the door's wide open. You get harnessed in and you're like,
can't reach.
So that 100% is a performance versus that. Like, they perform great. Comfortability-wise, some days I just don't want to deal with this. I won't drive a Cobalt specifically because I don't feel like putting on harnesses. Click, and then to get out, like if I take my son to school that day in the car, he loves it. But then to get out, I got this big door, and I got to click, and all this
stuff.
That's
even worse on a Cobalt, because they're so
the door is 9 million feet long. Another thing, this is a specifically me problem.
Is that your brother? Not N?
No.
LE5 Master Race?
LE5 Master Race, those are my people on here. That's not my brother.
Yeah. Cobalt. Jeff Gordon's in the chat, y'all. He's talking about that. I know he drives his car a little bit, but he knows. He secretly knows. Yeah. His car is a Radley race car shitbox.
I don't think that's a good daily. It looks
the exhaust is in the car.
It's in the car.
I bet it sounds great.
Jeff, you and I are very similar. You like, my car is a less race car version of your car. We are very similar.
Oh, Jeff, you got a foot bump on the door? There you go.
That's actually not bad.
Oh, I think what he's talking about is you pull your leg out and you kick the one side of the door so it bumps back.
Oh, that's actually a pretty good idea.
Oh, that's a pretty good idea. Okay.
See, he's a professional. Yeah, his name's Jeff Gordon.
I mean, it must be. Yeah. But for serious, like, my worst mob I will never get rid of because I'm already there is my fucking mirrors. My mirrors.
Your mirrors. Are they like this big?
So, no, I got a custom.
So stupid.
I have a custom mounted set of APR mirrors on my car. I can see out of one side of the car, and I have to do this to see out of the other side of the car. Well, that was it is a great for performance. Comfortability and safety is out the window.
And
the
car's so vibrating that the one just goes,
boom. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's like, yeah, like, if I don't lock it just right, it'll fly down. So I'm like, oh my God.
Yep.
So while I'm on track or driving, it's a whole thing.
It's a whole
speaking
thing.
Of safety, if you're buying seats and no seatbelts, don't cheap out on that stuff.
Do not.
Yeah, do not. Please,
that is safety equipment. That is what's holding you in the car. So.
FIA rated.
Yeah.
Don't go with your Brahms.
Don't get an NRG.
Yeah.
Guys, Brahm is a rep brand. Sorry, they may look cool, but that's not going to keep you safe if you crash.
NRG, same thing. They look cool, but they're not rated.
No,
they're not rated for that.
There are $400 or $500 seats that you can buy that are rated.
$300 seats?
Yeah.
And if you are buying race seats, sure as hell do not buy a reclinable one.
No.
No.
Because, like, what happens is they break.
Yeah.
And you either go back or you go forward, whatever way they break. But holy crap, is that dangerous.
And not good for your back.
And you'll notice I'm pretty sure no reclinable race seats are
FIA approved. None of them are.
Which makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, guys, those brackets in an accident, especially if you get a cheap one, they will break. Mm-hmm. We have seen many videos of it, and we care more about your back and the compression and all that stuff than those $300 races.
You don't want to compress that. I'm already short enough. I can't get compressed anymore.
Yeah, no smaller. So guys, another one too. Cams. What is your thought, performance, comfortability, and stuff on cams?
That's a good one.
I'm not opening the engine if it's my daily driver. Doesn't seem like a good idea.
That's a good way to go. Realistically, now it makes a big difference
on the car,
from the car and the engine, because VVT cars.
Yep, I was gonna say VVT cars.
Go ahead.
Yep. Do it.
It makes no difference. Like, they can do the thing. LSJ, it sounds great, but
there are things that come along with cams.
The idle gets a little quirky on an LSJ with cams.
Car may die coming up to a light sometimes. There may be a woo-woo. You just die.
Uh-huh.
But that's just that's something that you have to deal with if you make that choice to go to the cams.
And
when is it worth it?
Like Adam said, you're opening the engine. So it's not like you can just remove the mount.
Yeah. I mean, you can, but
you can.
It's a lot of work.
But especially not everybody can install cams themselves. So can you imagine going and, they make power. But
they do, undeniable.
You go to your mechanic, he's like, all right, well, we got to do this, we got to do timing, blah, blah, blah. You know, that'd be $2,000. And then you get in it and you drive it every day and you're like, okay, it sounds great, but.
Time for a new car.
Yeah.
So I saw Dan Anderson mentioned VS Cam. Like that cam, man, that is an amazing cam. That drives like stock, yet you gain like 40 horsepower. So the VS Cam is completely daily drivable. But if you daily drive your 3800 car and you put our NIC cam in it, if you catch a tailwind, you're going to smell exhaust.
Yep.
It may stall occasionally if you want that lopey idle.
Yep, yep.
Like, and then you LS, guys. If you put a cam in your LS, your gas mileage, 50% gone.
Yep.
Out the door.
Gone.
That's why it's a perfect, like, this is a perfect conversation for that, because the 300 is one of the better, is one of the best ones to talk about, because we have four different levels of cams, so depending on the car, more than that. But like, hey, this is my daily. Do I need a XPZ cam in this car? This is my daily. Do I need a freaking NIC cam in this car? Like, or is it a car that I drive on the weekend, stuff like that? Like, granted, we've been there. You know, we've all been a little bit younger and a little bit, you know, crazier.
Able to put up with more
able to put up with more stuff. And we don't have a problem with that. So we get it. But long term, it kind of makes you hate driving your car. There are certain cars that just makes you hate driving it. And then that is not what we want. We want you to enjoy. We want you to get in that car and then put the biggest ear-to-ear grin while you're rowing gears or smashing and pedaling, going through your four speed slush box. You know, we want you guys to enjoy your car.
Sorry, don't mean to interrupt you. Before off the screen, CornFed 3800s, the Quaifs are slated to be here next week, I believe.
Yes.
We haven't sent any emails. Sorry about that, but they are coming. Hopefully, you'll get them within a week or two. So, but what Gordon said, yeah, V8s, they do have more cylinder and they move more air. So, like, yeah, they will typically idle better at lower RPMs.
So it depends on your platform, really, is what you're saying. Yeah. Like he said, with VVT, or if you have a four-cylinder car with VVT, it might not matter. But if you have a car that only has a single cam in it and it can't adjust anything it's idling, then yeah, it's going to be a little bit more rough.
Yeah. Like VVT cars, like again, LNF, you know, LE5, you know,
LTGs,
they're great. You know, they idle like stock, you know, all that stuff. You can make them idle really aggressive, but you want to, idle, yeah. But at the same time, you don't need to.
Which
do
Jeff Gordon talk about would maybe see you soon.
I've been talking to that guy. He needs to get, needs to come up here.
Yep.
Real soon.
Yep.
Him and Snowball need to meet each other. They need to kiss. They need to kiss and hug.
Now kiss.
Now kiss.
Need to touch the tips or what?
Why wouldn't they?
What you got?
I saw somebody bring up a good point on there about they said they put ATS seats in their crews. If you can get stock seats from a better car,
that's huge.
They're OEM quality. They're safe.
Yep.
You know, they have all the good stuff, but they have better performance.
Yep. I did the same thing. So, guys, in my ATS, I have Carl Sportsters. They're great seats.
Yeah.
They are. I think they're comfortable. Tim hates them. I loved them. I thought they were comfortable. I did a Tail of the Dragon trip or two in them. They are great. However, there was just weird stuff about them that I got sick of dealing with for a daily.
Yeah.
So, for instance, because they are not factory seats, the car would come up with BCM codes. Like, oh, your heated seats won't, you know, turn on. Your this won't turn on. Your that won't turn on. And so I wanted my heated seats back, and I want all this stuff. I'm like, you know what? Let me get a set, and we got a red car. So I took the Recaros and interior out of that. ATS-V ones. And it all works, and they have a little button. I can adjust the bolster and stuff, and that's been my favorite. Just get in the car.
Just in case you ATS guys don't know this, like, and we didn't know this until Ryan did it, like, he threw ATS-V seats in his car, and ATS-Vs have this awesome menu.
Yeah.
That when you touch the dials on the seat, it pops up on your radio screen and shows you what you're doing. It just worked in his ATS.
It worked. Yeah, it still
worked. It was freaking awesome.
Yeah, it's pre-programmed in there.
Yep.
Yeah.
Now, granted, I don't know because I did a cluster swap and did the upgraded HDMI and all that stuff. So I don't think that has anything to do with it, but it may.
Maybe.
But either way, you can make it work because I just press it. I'm like, oh, I can adjust the bolster. Like, you press it and it...
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
It's sweet, so... Like, guys, like what Adam said about having a factory plus seat in the car.
It's like a factory upgrade.
That is a factory upgrade that's a little sweeter. You may not give me points at the car show if that's what you're doing.
Yeah.
But it's.
But you can always get them reupholstered.
Reupholstered.
I've seen some really, really cool reupholstered LSJ Recaros lately. Like, there are a couple guys who. Like, one dude did black leather and then red suede in the center. That looks great. Nice.
Yeah. You know? Those seats too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like Recaro, the LSJ Recaros. I think I like the LNF seats better.
I'm going to say, like, okay. All right. Here's my major complaint about the LSJ Recaros. The material, number one, it stains. If you accidentally cough on it, it stains.
Yeah.
But my other thing.
I mean, if they're not dirty, they don't stain.
No, they do.
They do. It's basically when you get water on them, it washes the dirtiness into the seat. So you make a clean spot. If your seats are clean, they don't look stained.
Maybe, yeah, that could be.
And you can shampoo your seats, people. Like, yeah, it's just a freaking wet dry bag.
But I hate how they look because they look like a seat that just says Recaro on them.
I think they look good.
I
love them.
I think the LNF seat looks better. Because it's like a factory plus seat. It has a little more bolster at the top and all that. So.
I would say the LSJ Recaro looks more like a race seat than the LNF seat. The LNF seat looks more like a factory seat.
I could see. Yeah, I go good.
I like both of them, but I think the LSJ Recaro is just a little better.
Especially
the gray ones.
It's
gray ones are better.
It looks like a Jetta seat and the Jetta Recaro. They are the same seat.
They are the same seat.
I don't know. Is it me being a hater?
Xavier, yes, F40 swap kit is coming back. We are redesigning it, making it a little easier to install, a little less parts. If you saw one of our recent posts, we've got some awesome axles on the way. So actually, my LSJ is coming in. We're going to test fit some axles. We're going to dial everything in. Because obviously, you know, we used a lot of GM parts because F40 was an OEM upgrade.
Please tell me your LSJ is going to be an F40.
It is. That's
nice.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's coming back. I don't have a time frame. Hopefully soon. I know it's been out of stock for a while, but yeah, it'll be coming back.
Connor Murphy, you're right. LLC is greater than Recaro's and LSJ leathers.
LSJ leathers don't belong in any car.
No, they don't.
Those are
the thought they, when they first came out, I thought they were coolest looking seat on the planet. Like, oh, they match the interior. Blah! And then I was like, oh, wait, I'm sliding the entire time.
There's no bolster.
No. Ooh, Jordan Barkley says, worst mod ever. Valstim flashing lights. Don't tempt me. I will go out and buy some right now. And I'll put them on my car.
I put some of those on my very first Saturday.
Heck, dude, like in Too Fast, Too Furious, when they go around the corner, and you see the little flashing lights, and I'm like, oh my God, I need them.
It was, I think my first.
Where's your wheel well lights?
Oh, don't tempt me either. I got underglow.
I think it was my first post on the Sixth Fear, the Saturn forum. I bought little LED, well, shoot, I don't even know if LEDs were around in 2006.
They were incandescent.
Yeah, but they were on the wheels, and I took a video with a camera, you know, like a Nikon Coolpix camera.
Ooh, okay,
and all right. In a parking lot, I did a reverse to drive, like, slam, so it would actually spin the tires, so I could get the light.
Yeah!
And I posted it on the forum, and everyone was like, what?
Your car was automatic?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
My man.
The good old SW2.
Man, my buddy used to do that back in high school, this Ford Escort. Just like
worst mod, wheel well lane.
Oh, man.
Connor, I'm sorry, man. Underglow, there's no wrong.
Underglow's good.
Underglow's good. You heard that, Tim?
Hey, what about window washer squirter lights.
Squirter lights?
They had those?
I don't know if we should say that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
They had those?
What did you just do?
Oh, no. Now Ryan's going to have those.
God,
too.
I'm going to be on Amazon in about 4 minutes, boys.
Bye now.
I'll be. We going, boys. We getting lights.
They probably have Bluetooth ones by now.
Oh, I'm sure.
Son of a gun.
Oh, yeah, they're going to have the RGB. I'm going to be able to change the colors on the phone.
going through a bottle of windshield washer fluid a day. Yeah, they're like, check this out.
Look at this stuff.
He's going to put some like black light powder in there so his shit shines when he sprays it.
It's going down.
You know what I'm into, though? Like nitrous. With a nitrous purge with a light in it. I'm in.
There we go.
Let's bring it around back. Yep, you're right.
To the reliability of your car.
Nitrous.
Lights are great for reliability.
Lights are good. As long as you have a good alternator and a good battery.
All right.
Let me tell you, legitimately though, lights are kind of bad because if you don't disconnect your battery in the winter, you drain your battery every year.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, for sure.
You need a trickle charger.
I mean, if you're going to store the vehicle, just disconnect the battery. Bring your battery in the house. Add years of life to
you
it.
You guys hear Tim?
Batteries do not like
Tim
to
is trying to tell me what to do and make good decisions. Are you serious?
Batteries don't like to get cold, man. Bring them in. Put a little blanket. Maybe cold, cuddle cold. Up with them at night. I don't know. Keep them nice and warm.
Wait. We don't have a swear jar in here. But, hey, oh, fuck that battery.
All right. Next one. Yes. Fancy control arms.
Mm. Yeah.
Like,
that's a good one.
My Sonic, I replace the control arms every year. I have put 3 brand new control arms on my Sonic. Crazy. Because it was a daily driver for like a few years, and I just didn't want to deal with the noise of like a solid, like tubular chromoly control arm.
Yeah.
Like, they are amazing, especially on us front wheel drive guys, because the front tires don't just go straight forward, they turn too. So, like, our control arms have super stiff connections, keeps them from towing in and towing out when you're braking. Like, a magical part, but holy crap, do they transmit road noise into the cabin of the car.
Oh, yeah. Every bump you hit, you know, there's no rubber left.
No.
So there's nothing to absorb.
Yeah, that noise, every rock and crack you hit, like, you hear it through the whole chassis of the car. Now, this year, Sonic's not really a daily driver anymore, so yes, it 100% will have chromoly control arms on it. Like, so that's a must have. So, like, a sway bar. What's cool about a sway bar is besides the, you know, improving your front to rear biasing and balance on cornering, it doesn't affect your ride quality.
No,
I think a sway bar is a perfect.
A rear sway bar in a yes. Ecotec Delta chassis
or a Sonic
is probably, I would say, in the top five mods you should yes. do. Because it doesn't affect anything. It doesn't affect reliability.
It's easy to install,
and it helps. The reason why is that
a sway bar, all it does is it tries to tie the left to right tires together.
Yeah.
Basically. It just tries to make it harder for one to go up and one to go down. So, like, when you hit a bump in the road, both go up. Both go up.
Yeah.
So it's like the comfort, you sacrifice no comfort. The only time that might be stiffer is if you hit a pothole with one tire, maybe, but like why are you hitting potholes anyway? So don't do that.
About coilovers, I'd much rather do sway bars.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
It's going to improve your handling, and then you're not going to have any of the downsides.
That is true.
But like, as like we have videos on this, like, you don't just blindly buy these parts.
No.
You got to like
plan
it. Hit some corners, go to the road course, go to an autocross, like, figure out the balance of your car, and then determine, like, what do I need? But what I can say is that the dealerships always make a car that understeers, because they don't 100%. Want people's rear ends flying out, because the average person does not know to turn right when your car is going left, when you're sideways. So, like, they make them all understeer, so immediately... A rear sway bar, pretty much every platform we sell for, is a huge improvement.
Huge improvement. Now, too, I want to kind of piggyback off of Tim and to talk about tires.
Oh, yes.
Oh, tires. Somebody brought it up way – it was like the fourth comment, and I was going to grab it, but we didn't. On an ATS, one of the best mods you can do – say you get a brand – well, you can't buy them brand new anymore, but you get –
Give it to me.
Replace – those stupid run flat tires,
yes.
and your life will be 10 times better.
100%.
They're super heavy.
They are very heavy. They're like, even down to if you guys want to upgrade to your 200 treadwear. So I think, obviously, again, ZSP doesn't sell them, but there's a lot of new tire technology out there that people really need to pay attention to. And for instance, I hear everyone say, I'm going to get all the 888Rs. Great tire. Loud.
No, it's not really that great either.
Yeah.
And our 888R is a Treadwear 100 tire. That means it's a freaking race tire. It's like one step up from a full slick. Like Ryan said, holy crap, they're the loudest tire ever.
You can hear them from another car driving on the highway.
Yes.
Yeah. Like you come up on them and
it's like a truck with mud tires.
Now, when it gets to the 200 Treadwear... Now that a whole bunch of racing classes have 200 treadwear limits, that is the most competitive tire that you can buy.
Yep.
Like they have like the big three, like, you know, Bridgestone, Falcon, and Advan. Like those are the big three for the 200. You can't go wrong with any of those.
Yeah.
There are bad 200s, but if you get one of the big three, like, you're good to go.
Now too, on that note, like, we're all, pretty much everyone at this table will run 200 treadwears if they need to on their stuff. Now, however, that may not be right for your guys' specific build, because 200 treadwheels, especially for a car you don't drive all year, is great. But if you want to drive that car all year round, absolutely not.
Yeah. No.
So, quick fun story.
Out of the rain.
Yeah. No. I drove my ATS. It's been sitting in a – we have to do a video on it, and you guys will see it pretty soon. But we have to do a video. It was snowing that day. Getting it here was the 100% most sketchiest thing I've ever done in my entire life. It has 200 treadwheels on the back, and it was like – snowing and -3 degrees that day.
Yeah. So not only do they have they have tread, but they don't have any tread blocks that are going to move water or anything
Or snow.
But they are also
the compound.
Bricks.
Yeah, the compound is set up for heat.
Yeah.
And it was like riding on play school rubber tire.
It was like back in high school when you'd go to McDonald's and steal some trays and put them under the rear wheel.
100%. Getting into my driveway, because I didn't plow it as I got home.
No.
I got stuck in my driveway. Like, I had to get out and shovel myself out of my own driveway.
So
it was awful.
So not even on the performance side of it. If you live anywhere that gets regular amounts of snow, do not go out and buy some stupid all season and then run it for 10 years and then it's down to the cords and then complain, the roads are so terrible. Buy a snow tire.
Yeah.
There are some really good all-weather tires now,
mm-hmm.
like those stupid ugly-ass ones.
Yeah.
Cross Treks or something. Like, at least do that.
Yeah.
You can run it all year. But, you know, everyone's like, oh, well, I got to buy two sets of tires. Well, yeah, but each set's going to last twice as long.
Yes,
yeah.
Literally twice
and
as long.
I've had winter tires since 2020, and they still look like they have tons of
travel. Yeah, because yeah. you're only driving them, like for us.
For like 3 or 4 months.
Yeah, like November, December, January, February, maybe 4 at the most.
March.
Yeah, March, maybe.
I'd say five months.
Yeah, 5 months. So either way, but then you take them off, you put them away, and then you are on your summer tires.
Your summer tires are going to wear faster.
Yeah, your summer tires are going to wear 100% faster. So when we're thinking about mods and reliability and stuff like that, I feel like people ignore tires. Like I remember
so many people ignore tires.
Yeah, I remember playing the video games when I was growing up. The last thing I always do was tires because it doesn't make the power bar go up.
Uh-huh.
You know, yeah. Like.
That's true.
It doesn't make the power bar go up.
The tires.
And then when I was a customer for ZZ Performance and I had my stock LNF tires on, he's like, "Yeah, man, you gotta get some better tires. You think they're gonna hook?" I'm like, "Tires are important."
Yeah,
and then, I had coilovers before I had tires. I had stock tires on my base model Cobalt.
Exactly.
And I had coilovers. I was like, "This thing rips."
Yeah. Like,
and I don't know why. Maybe we're all a different breed up here, but nothing makes me happier than getting a fresh set of tires.
Guys, so,
man,
guys,
it is so exciting when they come to the shop.
Let me tell you what these two dudes in the center did. When a set of tires comes in after they order them, you know, spending the paycheck on tires, they'll stack up. They'll be in their office or next to them. These guys will just look at them. They'll be like this, and they will get up and they will slap them. And it's like, yep, good sound.
Yeah,
they slap the tires. Tim and Tyler are tire slappers.
And then if it's a racy tire, you got to put your fingernail in it. Be like, oh yeah,
finger the
yeah. It's literally
sticky.
Because
you can tell.
Because you can tell. It's like the dads that are like, after you tie something down, you slap. Yep, that's not going anywhere. Except that's what you guys.
If you don't do it, it will go somewhere.
Yeah, see,
you have to.
But yeah, so yeah, these.
Yep.
They make them. Yeah, they would do it. They follow them, and that's what it is. So, all right, guys, so we've talked about exhaust. We've talked about tires.
Suspension.
We talked about suspension. We talked about interior stuff, like seats and stuff, like
reliability and power, I think, is the last thing that we should touch on.
Deal.
Because so many people, like you said earlier, just want to make more and more power.
Yep.
If it's your only car, find a place that you're happy with the car, getting in it every day, and you don't have to worry about anything.
Yep. I think that is a most understated statement of the entire podcast. Guys, I cannot tell you, because so many people get caught up on, especially in this day and age, is competing with the internet. Not competing with a certain person on the internet.
Yeah.
They're competing the general internet. Like, they want to have bragging rights. Say, I made $492. On my micro record, I have stock bottom end on a blue car with this and that, and I can like that's 259 and a half with a SXE cover and all that stuff. Like, they want to make their micro record, they want to be famous on the internet and get recognition from that.
And
guys,
it's so much different when, like, if you have a car that is set up to do a specific thing.
Yep.
Road course, drag racing, autocross, whatever. If you need more power to go faster, if that's what you're shooting for, cool, great. You on the street driving your car every day, driving your Cobalt every day, whether it's at 500 or 400, it doesn't really matter.
No.
Like,
no.
If 400 means you're not going to blow your shit up all the time,
knock it down.
Do that.
Yeah.
But if it's your third car and it's your, you know, you just, it's okay if it's away for a while, then sure, make as much power as you want. But
yeah, because that's the thing, you guys got to remember that. Again, if you're daily driving your car,
your brother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Until you crack a sleeve, then take it down one PSI.
Oh, my God.
That's one way to do it.
That's one way to do it. But, yeah, guys, like, it's one of those things that eventually, because everyone of us has a budget. None of us here are millionaires, trillionaires, all those stuff. Like,
you're not?
I wish. But, yeah, guys, like, braking gets old.
Dude,
yeah.
It gets so old.
It gets
so
damn, like, having your car down for a year, you can't enjoy it while all your other buddies are out there ripping it up in the streets. Because you wanted to make, you had to run 30 PSI.
Yeah.
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 It is not, like, if you have two mile cars, sure, by all means, blow one up and then you'd be good. Then take the other one. But if it's your only mile car, I cannot tell how many of you guys, like, man, I got to get my car back up, guys, and this and that. And then it takes, one extra hour to ship your product. Oh, you guys have ruined my entire summer.
Yeah.
You know, but guys, I mean, I say that tongue in cheek, but it's one of those things that be very conscious of what you're doing.
Yeah.
Is what I'm saying. Like, is it really worth, who are you competing with? Like, if you're trying to beat your buddy and stuff like that, sure, whatever. But whatever it makes is whatever it makes. At the end of the day, does it really matter?
Turn it up when you're at the track. Yeah. Don't turn it up when you're on the street.
Because you're going to be doing poles
to send me logs, and then you crack your block.
Yeah. That's not the fun part. You want to be able to take your car to a show, take car to a race, and then show it off there.
Right? You want to trust your car.
Yeah. You want to trust your car.
Especially because a lot of these cars that we work on are daily drivers.
Yes.
You want to get in it, drive to work, and then look back at it.
Yes.
And then know that when you get in it, when you go home, it's going to be there, it's going to be good. Yep. Like, okay, yeah, 450 versus 475.
Is 30 horsepower really going to make that big of a difference?
It sounds big, but you're not going to feel it. No. You're going to have so much fun at 450.
Yeah. I like, my daily driver is a grenade with, like, the pin pull. LTG Regal.
Ooh,
it probably makes, like, 300 wheel. It could make 340 wheel. But should I?
No.
Probably not. It's a daily driver.
It's a
90-10
rule. That last 10% is 90% increase of blowing up your engine.
Yeah.
Like, you just got to, like, just remember how much more fun it is to make less power, but know that every day you get in it, you can start it and you drive it. Like, I already played this game.
Guys, my Sonic, so I have my winter car Sonic has an intake, our PCV kit, a flex fuel kit, and an old V3 on there. I will race anybody, talk stuff, gap anybody. Chase is a race.
I don't care if I lose.
I will flip. Because, again, it don't matter to me, because if you lose, you just lost to my red winner Sonic.
Yeah,
and if
brag.
I win,
you can't brag that you beat Sonic.
And then, if you win, congratulations. You beat my red winner Sonic. It is a win-win. Yeah. So it's cool. Really – and I get to – I will literally floor it, flare up the transmission. I didn't tell Tim to shit. He's trying it right now. I would all right. And I'll just let off in the transmission. I know it hates it. I beat the snot out of this thing all winter. Or so I just don't want to drive a race car that day.
Yep.
And it's fun. And it's a car makes maybe 160, 170 horsepower. Maybe.
No, it's probably making 200 wheel.
Oh man, okay, there it goes. So even better.
Yeah.
Gap somebody.
These cars are an extension of us. That's why we do this. This is why we sell you the parts. That's why you buy the parts and you're on the site and Facebook and we love it. But it's about driving them. And some people, they love the tinkering.
Yeah.
And they love the build and the process of it. And, you know, it might not be the end result that they're really looking for.
Some people like to build. Some people like to drive.
Yeah.
That's true.
But I think the majority of people like to drive their cars.
Yeah. Sorry, I just saw one right here. Make some controllers for the base HHR. B-Dates. We've had them for like 20 years, brother.
Yeah.
So I exaggerate with 20 years. More like 10 or 15. But our tubular control arms for the LSJ fit on a base HHR. Because you have the 19.5 millimeter ball joints. We also have the standard ball joints that are also 19.5.
Yep.
Ben had them. Connor, I have not heard about that. We will look into that as soon as we have more information.
Yeah, I don't know.
If there's a tariff, there's nothing we can do about it.
For like 2 weeks, so yeah, everything's still up in the air at this point.
Yeah, so we don't know what's going on, brother, but if we do anything, we'll make some stuff.
All right, 2 minutes left. We're going to go over. That's okay. Xavier, brake mods. Almost always an improvement, but you have to choose your pad wisely.
Carefully.
You have to make them loud.
Or you have to be okay with waking up and...
Yeah, sounding like you're driving a dump truck.
Yep. Yes, like that is something.
The first couple pumps.
Yeah, like personally, I think the risk reward of that is way in the favor of the brakes, because brakes look cool, they stop cool, they do everything cool.
Yeah, that's like a safety motto.
Safety motto. I would vote that that big brakes are fully in the performance and in the performance. Because comfortability, maybe they may stop a little weird.
Yeah,
they may make a little loud noise or whatever like that. But reliability and performance, I don't think that's reliable.
I've raced some cars, like my Sonic. I just finally did a brake upgrade to that, which was like a larger rotor and caliper. But like, you can take the stock brakes pretty far.
Yeah.
But I did run a performance brake pad.
Yeah.
Pad is what makes the difference. If you have stock brakes and change the pads, you can go pretty far.
Yep. And also, like, drilled and slotted. Yes, I get it. There's a lot of people that are going to complain about cracking and whatnot. Like, if you overdrive your vehicle, I guess you can crack a drilled and slotted rotor more. But I raced the living hell out of my Sonic and never had a rotor crack. And all I had was stock brakes, drilled and slotted ZZP rotors and EBC yellow pads.
Yeah.
No squeaking.
Buy ZZP rotors.
Like,
there you go.
Nice brake pedal. Like, my new brakes are too touchy.
Yeah.
Like, I have to, like, it's one of those things where when somebody drives a car, it's like, hey, be nice to the brake pedal when you hit the brakes, or you're going to be eating the steering wheel. Like,
gonna end up like Sonic up here like that.
But, like, Duralast brake pads?
Yeah. Don't.
Yeah, guys.
I've heard they're good if you don't want dust, but besides that.
Guys, okay.
If you don't want to stop.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Not performance-wise, but, yeah.
Super side is going to be just one little phrase I'm going to say. Reliability and performance and, you know, convenience mod. Wash your goddamn cars. y'all ain't no reason to have the Taco Bell wrappers and not vacuuming the car. Take pride in your cars, please. I'm going to always that every time because it frustrates me because you – Cobalt guys, I love y'all. Y'all know I love you. I got mad love. I'm fighting for you every day. If y'all don't start showing up with clean cars and nice cars and taking pride in
these, Taco Bell bags out.
Please do it.
Throw them away.
Guys.
You get out of your car, grab the thing.
Y'all wonder why Honda dudes get...
Wipe your interior down a little bit.
Yeah. Dude, guys, Honda guys get billet blocks because those dudes, you have interiors you can eat off of them. Come on now. That's why they get billet blocks.
You know what, man? I got to say, it's not just Cobalt guys, man. I've had like some nice ATSs come in here and you're just like, oh God, like there's underwear in the back deck window.
We literally had that. Literally had that. Not calling anyone out.
Like, what is going on here? Like, you know what?
No.
When you're getting gas, there is nothing to do but take the wrappers and stuff out of your car and throw it in the trash can.
Those trash cans are free.
Yeah.
FYI.
Like, you're just waiting around anyway. Just empty your car out. Clean that thing out, man.
Yeah.
So, I want to take one. Jesse said ZZP 12-inch kitten pads are great. Yes, we have a 12-inch kitten, a 12-6. Mm-hmm. The 12-6 is our newest one that uses one of our ZZ Performance rotors and pads now.
And the calipers,
sorry. It's a great one. Obviously, you got to change your wheels up a little bit. Under mini stock ones, it won't fit without a spacer, but it's a fantastic upgrade. Gets the car looking a little nicer. Perfect. Rob, yes. I and Randy, yep, we're working on some. That I'm shoot me a DM and I'll
super hot boy breaks.
Super hot boy breaks. We may be able to help you out.
You want to do stoppies? We'll help you do stoppies. But you better not have some all seasons on that car.
You better buy some better tires.
No. I will say, Rob. So I don't know if that's Rob down in Florida. He has one of, I will say, the nicest HHR in the country.
Oh, I would say.
Super clean.
He's absolutely. Dude, he's running ZSP coils, ZSP parts. He has a Sidewinder sub that's in the engine bay. He relocated his fuse box.
Yeah.
I think Rob's still running a TTR manifold. Rob, get the Diamond Fab one. It's so much better. But yeah, he's one of the only other Cobalts. There's three Deltas in the nation that have won a WECFest and that are fat. Like, he's making 450, 480, something like that. A very good example of an HHR. Though I'm upset that he got Brahms seats in the car. Like, me and Rob, you know, like, I don't comment on Rob's stuff a lot, but I'm always watching. I'm like, he's doing some nice stuff. Like, and he's, like, Rob has the ability to be, like, super legit, and he already kind of is, but I gotta get rid of Brahms seats, Rob. I'm calling you out, brother. Get rid of Brahms.
Let's hit it on the, what are we doing this weekend? It's past 5.
Oh my God. Does it really have to be past 5?
It's past 5.
What if we say it was 4:45 and just keep going?
I wish.
All right, that's fair.
15 minutes ago.
Yeah.
You're not my real Dan Mike. Can't say that. Connor, by the way, I'm running our ZSP 14.5 kit right now, and I have been for many years. And
which comes with power stop?
Yeah, I have. I've raced it on track with Hawks and power stops, and I actually like the power stops on track far better than the Hawks. Hawks just make a bunch of dust, and they take a lot of heat to get in them, so... Yeah.
Power Stop makes good pads.
Yeah, they do.
They
actually
make track day pads.
Yeah.
And they're cheap, too.
Yes, they are. Affordable.
Guys, don't sleep on EBC. EBC G-Lock. Yeah, EBC Yellow. G-Locks.
G-Lock's a whole different game.
And then some good Power Stops. Good pads. Good pads.
Yeah, you got Power Stop track day pads for $80.
Yeah.
Or you can't beat that.
G-Locks for $250.
Yeah.
That's like, even EBCs are like $200. Yeah. And I burned those up. I had reds, not yellows, but I burned those up on a track day.
Yeah.
Like, they weren't worth it.
So Rob, we'll talk through DM. We'll talk some good stuff. I know you may love them, but you know, we gotta get you, you know, anyway.
Some ZZP seats.
Yeah. Right. All right, Ryan, what you doing this weekend?
Who said I'm gonna get gotten to Forza Horizon 5?
I don't know.
I got some cards in the game I played last time. I will gap you, man. Don't play. So what am I doing? I don't know. I think it's gonna be kind of a chill weekend.
All right.
Doing some cleaning, doing some stuff. I'm gonna come in and work on some kidding stuff on Saturday. Maybe answer some emails and help you guys out, because we're getting to the start and getting ready for the busy season, tax return season. So I want to make sure that we have parts on the shelf and help people out. And whatever happens, happens. Maybe try going on some dates. Single guys, single again. So I'm trying to go on some
ladies.
Dates. Ladies,
hey, hey,
you're absolutely yeah, no one.
0%.
0%.
Men.
Yeah. Wrong. So yeah, nothing else.
I've got nothing either.
Nothing?
Nothing.
Well, I found out yesterday that our friend Mr. Scott McPhee is coming to the U.S.
Well,
he's gonna be at Adam's house.
Yeah,
tomorrow.
We're hanging out with Scott.
Yep. So we're hanging
he's
out with
probably
Scott.
Probably not watching, but
now
nice guys. Well, yeah, Scott.
He's
Scott's a good
working.
Time. When are you fixing the sod? Oh my God. When are you fixing the sod?
Well, I was hoping to do a little work on it Sunday because it'll be 40. Balmy, you know. But mostly it is, I am made of brittle bone birds.
That's,
don't you have a
bird
heater?
Bones?
You have a heater, right?
I got a heater. It's so loud.
Yeah.
I like listening to music.
But, yeah, but Tyler, dude, you got
headphones.
It. The sob is cool.
Headphones. Turn the heater on and put your headphones in.
Ooh,
there you go, your AirPods. Man, he needs to be like, that's what he's taking the tail of the dragon.
I got
he's taking
the dragon to work on it.
I know, but you got to,
but
you
I'm
going to
do our big break kit.
Woo!
Like, oh, yeah.
All right. What about you, Adam?
I'm hanging out with Scott.
Yeah.
Scott's coming over tomorrow, so I just got to, you know, clean up my house and get ready for that. Those seatbelts you gave me, somebody's coming over and giving me $30 for them.
$30?
$30,
that's
my
beer money.
That's my beer money for the weekend.
What seatbelts you giving?
There were some, like, 10-year expired race harness seats.
Brand new, but
they still work the same.
Yeah.
All right.
Guys, I missed this. I missed you guys. Yeah. It's fun talking to you. Guys, please.
Thanks for the chat for being
chat's a G.
Yeah,
today.
Hi, Nick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Guys, seriously, just remember, just as per usual, you know, definitely support us on our YouTube channel, ZZ Performance. If you guys have questions on stuff, customer service at ZZPerformance.com. I will happily help you out best I can. If you guys have questions about some, like, setup stuff or anything, especially enough guys, you know, ryan.dzzperformance.com.
Or literally anything.
If or anything.
Want tire advice, brake pad advice, like just shoot us an email.
Yeah.
We will
very much so down.
You.
That's why we're here.
Yep.
That's it. We love cars just like you guys do. Remember the LNF is the best engine raid ever?
After the LSJ, we'll catch you next time.
It's in front of the LSJ.
Peace.
Deuces.